You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Welcome to Good Morning Football. We are live in New York City. It is Monday, May 22nd. I'm Sarah Walsh. In for my friend Jamie Erdahl, we got Jason McCourty, we got Peter Schrager, and we've got a 6-time Pro Bowl defensive tackle in Gerald McCourty.
Yeah, Gerald, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me. This is wonderful. I love coming to New York. This is excellent. And I'm in you guys' home. So first off, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, and I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
We love having you here. Yes. Can we call out the elephant? You're not wearing pants right now.
No, I'm not wearing pants.
Yeah, something on though.
I do have a bottom half on.
Yeah.
But I do not have on pants. And I mean, usually I love coming to New York, but in this instance, it did not go according to plan. My bag did arrive, but somebody decided, you know what, Gerald? You don't need your bag right at the moment. So I'm going to hold it for you.
Okay.
And I got a hold of them, and they said, you know what? Nope, I'm not bringing it back. I'll bring it back when I feel good and ready. So somebody is in possession of my suitcase right now. I don't know who it is, but, yeah, they got.
Is there
they have
one
all
person in the world you would least less want to piss off than Gerald McCourty? What are we doing?
Are they going to find anything in that bag?
Bunch of workout clothes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, I know when we were talking this morning about like who's stuck. I mean, you guys didn't play at the same playing weight, so we can't be borrowing. It doesn't exactly transfer in terms of like.
You looked at my cotton dockers and said I'd rather wear shorts than that crap.
Cotton dockers. Doesn't really seem to fit them.
You know what? It's not going to slow Gerald McCourty down. He knows what it's like to overcome adversity. No problem. We'll get through it. And you look great regardless,
awesome.
Gerald.
Thank you.
We're so happy to have you. We want to begin today by celebrating the life of Jim Brown. Brown passed away on Friday at the age of 87. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell offering these words. On behalf of the entire NFL family, we extend our condolences to Monique and their family. Jim Brown was a gifted athlete, one of the most dominant players to ever step on any athletic field, but also a cultural figure who helped promote change. During his 9-year NFL career, which coincided with the civil rights movement here at home, he became a forerunner and role model for athletes being involved in social initiatives outside their sport. He inspired fellow athletes to make a difference, especially in the communities in which they lived. Jim Brown, arguably the greatest player in NFL history, but his influence extended far beyond the football field. And Jason, we want to start with you because you spent time in Cleveland. What did Jim Brown mean to you?
It was so cool to be a Cleveland Brown and walk in the hallway and see Jim Brown walking around, had an office there, and getting a chance just to say what's up and introduce yourself. And I remember he got an opportunity to talk to our team at different points throughout that year. And I remember going up to him, it was just like, it's incredible and it's an honor to get a chance to meet you. And he was always so humble and he would talk to guys. And you saw that over the course of the week and so many players that played in Cleveland posting pictures and different things and talking about the influence that he had on them. And I think for beyond that one single season I spent in Cleveland. When you talk about Jim Brown, of course you saw those highlights and what he did on the football field. Myself, being too young to remember and be alive to watch him out there on the field, you grew up and hearing about how dominant he was on the field, but seeing how dominant he was off the field, and you'd hear about Jim Brown not being afraid to speak up and talk about race issues that were going on in our country as a professional athlete at the time when it wasn't popular. You talk about Muhammad Ali going through what he was going through of not wanting to enter the war, not wanting to enter the draft, and Jim Brown bringing the Cleveland Summit there and having Bill Russell there, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Carl Stokes there, talking about surrounding Muhammad Ali and willing and giving their support for him at a time where that wasn't popular, where as a professional athlete, you could possibly lose the sponsorships or whatever you had, the fan recognition of people loving you and cheering for you. He wasn't afraid to step out. He was able in L.A. to bring gangs together to find a truce. Jim Brown wasn't afraid to be himself. This guy retired from the NFL to become an actor and star in movies. 100 Rifles is a movie he starred in where his co-star was Raquel Walsh, an interracial love scene within a movie back in the day where that wasn't popular. So Jim Brown not only broke rushing records and ran around people and broke tackles, but he also broke down color barriers and stepped forward and was willing to speak up on the behalf of other people at a time where it was not popular. So for myself as a professional athlete, you look to the Jim Browns of their day who were willing to do these things, and they opened up a whole new avenue for us to be able to do things, and he walked so we can run, the different athletes. You talk about LeBron James in Cleveland doing things following Jim Brown. So a special human being, a special NFL player, and a special person off the field with everything he was able to do and everything he was able to impact.
Yeah, he was one of one, and his civil rights legacy is different than a lot of different people. It was controversial at the time. It was also controversial within the African-American community.
Yeah.
So he went out and did a lot on the field and was even a greater impact off the field. I do want to just talk about, for you watching at home, and you might be of a younger generation, you're seeing the highlights in black and white, you're like, all right, whatever, old player. That Jim Brown would be the best running back in football today. Like, Jim Brown would be the best. He's 230 pounds. The guy led the league in rushing 8 of his 9 years in the league, and he retired at the age of 29. The peak of his, look at, okay, 1965, his final year in the season. We've seen a lot of running backs kind of fade out into the end of their career. This is the final year of his career. He had as much as 700 more yards than the next leading rusher. That's Gale Sayers. Timmy Brown's over there. He's rushing for these numbers at the peak of his career and then walks away. That 65 season, he was the best player in football. He was unbelievable. He was a 3-time MVP from the running back position. Guys, he won MVP as a rookie. His first season in the league, he went out and won the MVP award, most valuable player. And this wasn't a 32-team league. This is a smaller league. He won a championship for the Cleveland Browns, something that no one has done since. Jim Brown very well could have been the greatest player of all time. And it might not even be an argument had he not retired at 29, to your point, pursue a career in Hollywood, which he was a very successful actor. One of the coolest lives in football history. Passed away at 87. But please don't underestimate his football abilities. One of the greatest to ever do it, and likely the greatest running back, not only of his generation, of all time.
You know, for me, my actual introduction to Jim Brown was movies. The first time I ever seen Jim Brown, he was in a movie called I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker.
Yes.
Keenan Ivory Wayans wrote that. And I was watching it He had a funny scene, and my dad was like, you know, son, he's a famous football player. I'm like, this dude right here? You know, I'm a kid. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, this dude right here? He's like, no, son, no. He's like the football player. And then as you get older, you start to research and you start to figure out who he is. If they had to put a picture in the dictionary of presence or dominance, they need to put a picture of Jim Brown. Yeah. Because he was that in every way. Like, if you talk about on the field, if you had to pick a player who, like, dominated their position, you know, you have your D lineman, you have your wide receivers. When you go to the running back position, you have to bring up Jim Brown. Like, I don't think there's another name you would bring up when he talks about dominance or presence. But he had such a presence, even when he was in Any Given Sunday, as a coach, you know, as an actor, as an activist, everything he did, he just had such a presence about him. And his energy was always felt. But even with, like, this Everybody you talk to will tell you he's the nicest, humblest man you ever be around. And he just loved to see people smile. And he just wanted to see everybody be better at what they did. And when I think about Jim Brown's impact for me, you know, I've had to speak out on certain things. And when you need motivation of a person who did what you did before, especially as an African-American male, Jim Brown is that example. And that's what he was for me, for sure.
I want to go back to what something you just said about at times when you've had to speak out, and it goes to what you brought up about LeBron. And I think with athletes, there's two sides of the spectrum that they unfairly get. It's either, hey, stay in your lane, which LeBron has gotten a ton of times, right? Like, just go play basketball. And then there's, you know, the athletes that really do want to just be doing this. And then people will look at you and go, well, why don't you speak out, right? It's sort of a no-win situation. And so I can't imagine when you go back to his era. I mean, think about it today. I mean, there's still people trying to speak out about certain things and injustices, and they get flack either way, right? And so I cannot imagine the era in which he did it, because there's still things, obviously, clearly today that people are fighting for. That era is something that, fortunately for all of us living today, I mean, we're not having to go through what he went through decades ago. And then I think you also saw, someone brought up Muhammad Ali. When Muhammad Ali passed away, and I just remember the scene from the funeral down there. I mean, it was just, it was, because it was someone that transcended sports. And so again, I think you go back and I just think about not only, and it's sort of combining a lot of what everyone said, and to Peter's point of when you look at the stats statistically, something that no one's ever done. So think about, as he's having these ridiculous seasons that we still have not seen to this day, he was doing it in an era that, what was going on off the field? Like, what was he dealing with off the field as he's leading the league in rushing 8 and 9 years? I mean, that is different than the person who's leading the league in rushing today when they step off the football field. So it's like you combine all those things and it's sort of mind-blowing, and something that, you know, most of us living today would never understand because we weren't living back then, and it's things that you only read about. But I do think it's interesting in the sense of, as you guys would know more so than me in terms of being a professional athlete, that push and pull of, you should speak out, you have to speak out, or, hey, I don't want to speak out, and then you sort of take it on that end, like, why don't you speak out? And there is definitely, I would assume, a tough juggling act in everyone's mind that plays of where do you stand on that line. And I don't think it's a one situation fits everybody, right? Because people are different. That's just not everyone's, you know, thing to speak out in certain ways about certain things, even if you have a feeling about it. And I don't think we should expect everyone to, but that was obviously something that he felt was his calling to do. And then something we talk about all the time too on the show, how tough is it to walk away from the game, right? I mean, I know we've talked about it before, yeah. and where you thought you were going to step away, but to finally step away, and how tough is it to step away when you're at the top of your game? I mean, being in Tampa, I saw Tom Brady struggle with this, and he was going to walk away, but he walked away in a year that he almost won the MVP. I mean, it's tough to finally walk away. So just the football aspect of it, when he walked away and what he could still do, I mean, that's a tough thing to wrestle with, and he seemed to not wrestle with it as much, at least on the outside of, like, I'm good here, I've done my thing, I'm ready to move on. But that is not an easy thing to do, I would think, for any athlete.
Yeah, for sure. And when you research for me and read about Jim Brown, you saw he was a guy who did what he wanted to do, and he was very confident and comfortable in who he was. And those came with the flaws of different things that transpired in his life, and also with the good of things that he was able to do for himself and for other people. But a very tough thing to do, and he figured out how to do it and thrive on both sides of it.
He's the greatest lacrosse player, arguably, to ever play. He played lacrosse in high school and then went to Syracuse, and yeah. was the greatest of his generation. He lettered in basketball at Syracuse. He was a varsity basketball player at Syracuse, like, was really good at basketball. One of the greatest athletes. And I think the terms that have been thrown around, the complicated legacy. Yeah, he's 87 years old who stood for something. There's going to be a complicated legacy there. It might not be digestible for everybody.
Yeah, and he had flaws. So it is what it is.
With that, we say rest in peace, Jim Brown. We've got more Good Morning Football after this.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets. Yeah,
it's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar.
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are happy, I should say, to welcome in Steve Wyche and Judy Batista. They are joining us from Minneapolis this morning. That's where the Spring League meetings are happening. Steve and Judy, give us the latest. What's going on there?
Sarah, great to see you. We are here really early because they are getting started really early. Actually, they started last night with the Accelerator Program, the second year of the Accelerator Program for head coaching candidates. This is strictly for coaches, not for front office types. Again, they had a reception last night, and then they're going to have a full slate of activities here. These are people who are, they believe, potential head coaching candidates soon.
Well, and diverse head coaching candidates. And one of the things that they found with the lack of hiring of minority candidates in head coaching is they didn't have the opportunity to network with owners and team executives just so they could get to know one another. So this is what the Accelerator Program is about. And today, it really starts off shortly this morning where Russell Reynolds, which is a search firm that a lot of teams have used to find head coaches, some of their representatives are actually meeting with the 40 representatives here to kind of tell them that process, how that goes. Then we've got a slew of other meetings today, Judy, but mainly some networking. They're going to have 3 touch points with owners and team presidents where they can get familiar so they could possibly be on the short list of being a head coaching candidate next year.
And there's also a whole lot of league business that they'll get to. It starts at noon. The first thing they're going to talk about is changing the kickoff fair catch rule. The proposal is that a fair catch on a kickoff would go to the 25 automatically, no matter where the fair catch was. That is a health and safety thing. Kickoffs are one of the most dangerous plays for concussions in the league, and so they are trying, quite frankly, to limit the number of kickoff returns. That is going to be voted on. It has the full support of the competition committee, so that usually gets approved. They are also going to talk about something that caused quite a stir at the annual meeting, the idea of flex scheduling being available for Thursday night games. John Mara from the New York Giants came out firing against that. We will see if that goes through or if they sort of stand down on that, Steve. And then there's going to be a lot of talk about the Commanders sale, the sale of the Washington Commanders. There's not going to be a vote here. It's not close to conclusion yet, but a lot of questions about the Commanders sale.
Yeah, again, there will be no vote on that.
No.
You know, they still have to vet all the owners, the majority ownership group, minority owners also. But all, again, this is mainly for the Accelerator Program,
yes,
Judy.
Right.
So, you know, and the main thing, as they button this up, not only are they meeting with a search firm, but there's also going to be an agency here from Athletes First kind of telling these coaches the role of agents in dealing with teams as well. So, again, they're getting some things that they have not had before in the 2 other parts of this Accelerator Program to, again, help diverse candidates get opportunities and to help owners understand and to know who some of these guys are.
Needless to say, guys, as we send it back to you, the NFL does not recently have a great track record on diversity hiring for head coaches, so they are ramping up what they're doing with their Accelerator Program.
Steve and Judy, thanks so much. We'll hear from you throughout the next couple hours while we're here this morning on Good Morning Football. So as they mentioned, there's 40 coaches invited there to be part of this accelerated program. Which of the coaches, we have a list of them, stand out the most to you? Peter.
I think it's interesting because we look at this long list of coaches and most of them are on the defensive side of the ball. And if you look at some of the minority head coaches right now in the league, predominantly on the defensive side of the ball. I look at Brian Johnson, who's been promoted as the Eagles offensive coordinator. And I think he might be one of these guys to watch as ability to break down doors and say, hey, how about some minority coaches on the offensive side of the ball? Offensive coordinator, the assumption is that he and Sirianni will work together and who will call plays. But he was the quarterback's coach for Jalen Hurts last season. He's known Jalen Hurts. His father coached Jalen Hurts back when Jalen Hurts was in high school. An incredible opportunity. When you go to the conference champion, the defending conference champion, say you are the OC, go and spread your wings and do whatever you want with this offense. Put wrinkles in it. Get the most out of Jalen Hurts, who just got handsomely paid and deservedly so. I think Brian Johnson is fascinating because for, you know, so many years it was like, Eric Bieniemy's one man. It can't just be Eric Bieniemy as the face of African-American coaches on the offensive side of the ball. There needs to be some others. And, of course, in the past, we've had Dennis Green and some other great legends of the game. In this case, though, I think Brian Johnson has a really good opportunity. He's going to be at the accelerator program. Every owner is going to be there. Most of the presidents of the teams are going to be there. Shake some hands. Get to know them. You don't have to go over the top. Your game will speak for itself. But this is a good opportunity to kind of equate himself with some of these other people.
Yeah, excited to see the offense with Brian Johnson now at the lead for the Eagles this season. As I look at the list, you see just such a wide range of experience of coaches. I look at a guy, Jerry Gray, who's on that list, who has 26 years of NFL coaching experience. He was my defensive coordinator in Tennessee some years ago. And this is a guy that is just a brilliant, just football mind. We would stand on the sideline when our offense was on the field, and Jerry Gray would just call out the play that was about to happen, and he would be spot on play after play after play. And this is a guy who's a really good defensive back in the NFL as well, would tell us how he kept a notebook of every wide receiver he would play against throughout the day, from Jerry Rice to Mike Irvin to all of these different guys, and just a really smart football coach. And then I look at a young guy, DeMarcus Covington of the New England Patriots, just in his sixth season with the Patriots, and a defensive line coach, and this guy has been talked about so much, of just a coach that's growing, and I got an opportunity to be in the building with him and see him grow and develop as a coach. And this is a guy who went from a graduate assistant in college, went to play football at Samford University, the home of Courtland Finnegan, and now he's an NFL coach, and he's on his way to becoming a head coach one day. So two guys that I got a chance to play for, one younger than me and a coach that has 26 years of NFL experience. That's the wide range of coaches that are there.
We love a good story, right? And so as I was looking through here, and I feel like a lot of times when these coaches get to be head coaches, everyone's always got some great story, and there's this moment in life when it turned, and it's like, oh, this is what I was supposed to be doing. So when I was going through this list, the defensive passing game coordinator in Green Bay this year, Greg Williams, he's new there, played on both sides of the ball at the University of North Carolina. He went there as a wide receiver, then he switched to safety. He played NFL Europe, played in arena football, was still working in arena football a little bit when he was living in Arizona. And he comes out of the mall one day, and there's a flyer that's left on the windshield of his car that says, hey, at the YMCA, we need some coaches. And he's like, well, why not? I don't have anything else to do right now. So he goes to the YMCA on a whim from a flyer and signs up and starts coaching 9, 10, and 11-year-old basketball players. And he said it was in that moment that he was like, this is what I'm supposed to do with my life. Now, he's a football player, and now he's been coaching for 19 years in football. But his moment of, like, this is what I was supposed to do was literally because somebody put a flyer on his car back in the day in a mall parking lot, which I think is really cool. Like, how'd you know? Well, this guy came out of the mall, and, you know, I was just over at H&M, and then I decided this is H&M. What I should do. I don't. There probably wasn't H&M back then, actually. I don't even know.
Spencer's Gifts.
There's guys
Spencer's
at H&M.
Had to be.
And then I also wanted to just give a shout-out, too, as you look at that list, 40 people, there's only one woman on that list, and it's Callie Bronson. She works with the Cleveland Browns wide receivers. So when you look at, she's one of 40. So someone that has worked her way up the ranks as well. So what an opportunity for her.
Yeah, and I could be a little biased because and you know what?
Yeah, no problem.
You know, I'm not going to apologize for being biased. I'm going to be biased, okay? Because I played for this coach, I'm going to go with Leslie Frazier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, Leslie Frazier came to Tampa when we were struggling, which in my tenure in Tampa, that was a lot of years we struggled, but it's okay. He came from Minnesota, where he really had a big turnaround in his first year as a head coach. I mean, he coached an incredible running back, future Hall of Famer, and Adrian Peterson. Then he kind of had a short tenure. I think it got cut kind of short. But when he came to Tampa, one thing I loved about Coach Frazier is how he could command attention from all of us. When he spoke, he's got this like deep tone to his voice, and he could get everybody to, like, it was almost like your grandfather when you and her, you playing too much, and then you hear his voice and you're like, all right, man, let me chill out. Yeah. But More so than that, what he did in Buffalo as a defensive coordinator over the last 6 years, he's had four top five finishes in defense. Mm. And I'm a defensive guy, you know, but he also had an opportunity to see a high-powered offense in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. So he knows what it looks like. He would know, like, what both sides should look like. But being a defensive-minded coach, I mean, yes, we are in a high-powered offense of, like, time in football. But in order to slow that down, like, you see what the Chiefs are doing. You have to play some really good defense. So I think giving him another shot, he's seen the mistakes he's made, and I truly believe that he's a great candidate, and I honestly believe like he would like really lead a team to something great.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah, it's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar!
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is a Monday, and there's always a slew of topics to discuss from the weekend, so it is time to put them together in another edition of Monday Mishmash. After a 5-12 season, this is how we're starting. The Denver Broncos hoping to turn things around in 2023 with new head coach Sean Payton. When asked about his new coach, Broncos safety Justin Simmons said he's excited to get the ball rolling and excited to win. So our question is this: which team with a new head coach are you most confident in heading into the season?
Peter. I think Shane Steichen's bringing something from Philly, and I think that the Colts are going to at least be far improved. I don't know if they're going to be a playoff team. I don't know if they're going to win a Super Bowl. I just say this: they're going to be competent out there when it matters on offense, and they've got a new head coach, sure, but I'm excited for when they roll out Anthony Richardson. I don't want to rush that process. I think they're going to know when the time is right, but gosh, everything I'm hearing is that this kid is outstanding. 20 years old starting quarterback in the NFL at some point this season. I can't imagine Minshew's going to go the full year as the starter. At some point, they're going to go to Richardson, and I can't wait to see what Steichen's got cooked up for. Remember, Steichen was the guy calling the plays the second half of the season when Jalen Hurts really got rolling. So I think the Colts, again, I don't know if I'm predicting them to win the division or anything. I just think they're going to be far improved than the product we saw last year on the field.
I'm staying in that same division, and you talked about Shane Steichen. I'm going with DeMeco Ryans in Houston. And same thing. They may not be going in playoff team, all of that, but you look at Houston over the last few years, from Bill O'Brien to Romeo Crennel taking over, then Cully, then Lovie Smith. I feel like now them bringing in DeMeco Ryans, the energy that he's bringing, the defensive mindset, they have the coach that's going to be there for a while. And all offseason, we talked about Houston losing out on the number one overall pick in that last game against the Colts. And then they go into the draft and they end up with C.J. Stroud, they end up with Will Anderson. And there's like a new day in Houston right now. DeMeco Ryans is throwing out the first pitch for the Houston Astros, a perfect strike across the plate. It's just exciting time for the Texans right now. And I can't wait to see what they look like as a team and the mindset and the mentality they take over from their head coach.
You know what? This might be low-hanging fruit.
Take it.
It might be low-hanging fruit. But I'm going to go Sean Payton and Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about this, and I looked something up. I said, you know what? Let me check something. Because first ballot Hall of Famer Drew Brees came from San Diego, and he made a complete turnaround. I don't think people understand what happened the year before he got to New Orleans. These numbers are very comparable. Drew Brees, like accurate Drew Brees that we know for being accurate, this is what he did the year before he got with Sean Payton. Everybody killed Russell Wilson, me included. But this is the Sean Payton effect. The Broncos were tied for third worst team before he got there. The Saints were second worst team before he got there. Had a huge turnaround, won the division, and we all know what happened a couple years later. They won a Super Bowl. Same build, kind of the same mold, Russell Wilson, Drew Brees, Sean Payton.
You played against Payton for years.
I'm just saying.
What was your dynamic personally with Coach Payton? Because he's in your face. He's fired.
He is. He is. And he's so fired up, it gets you amped up. And you got to remember, hey, he's just the coach. Because you're like, hey, man, you better. All right. Sorry. I'm supposed to be going after him. But that's what he brings to a team. And he doesn't back down from anybody. You can run over to him in full pads, and he'll buck back at you. Mm. But he's such a mastermind. I believe with this team who lost six games within, one score or less, add the Sean Payton mindset to this offense with a top 10 defense, this team could be scary.
I like it.
I'll give you a team that I think could win the division, but I could say that about any team in that division because we're going to the NFC South, and I'll go Frank Reich and the Panthers. I love Frank, and I think he can do incredible things with Bryce Young. But I think if you're just a player that was on that Panthers team last year and you look at what they did, especially late in the year, down the stretch, I mean, this is a team that won four of their last six. The Panthers went 4-2 in their division. They were unbeaten in the division at home. They have a really good defense. And by the way, all those things I just rattled off, they did that when they were in coaching chaos, quarterback chaos, Christian McCaffrey trade chaos, and they still found a way in a very tumultuous year to almost come out and win the division. And when I said 4-2 in the division, one of those was an overtime loss to Atlanta. So I think when they look at that core, there's a lot that Frank could walk into the building and build on and say, hey, guys, this is why you should believe that you're able to win. Yeah. And this is before we've even thrown the Bryce Young factor in it, if he's even a fraction of what people hope he can be. And I don't think he has to do everything year one. I mean, he does not have to carry this team on his shoulders, especially considering they had a quarterback carousel last year. You kind of just have to keep the bus rolling there. So I think if you look, especially then you look at that division, and there's so much upheaval and turnover in that division. I mean, that's ripe for literally anyone in that division. But I like Frank and the Panthers to make some noise there. Let's go to our next question. On the I Am Athlete podcast, Davante Adams was asked to name his top five wide receivers in the league right now and included names like Justin Jefferson, Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs. So we want to take this conversation to all-time NFL. Who is the most underrated wide receiver in NFL history, Peter?
I could have gone to the 50s or the 60s or talked Raymond Berry, but I don't know if the audience is looking for that. I'm going to talk about guys who are peers of your generation. Mm-hmm. I think Anquan Boldin is the most underrated wide receiver of your generation. What he did over the course of his career with so many different teams personified toughness, big game ability, and did it all in an understated fashion where it wasn't always going to be a drama-filled thing. He wasn't getting the ball. Sometimes he was the number two on an offense. Sometimes he was the number three in an offense. But when it mattered most, Anquan Boldin was there. He also caught passes as a Lion, like as recent as like 4 years ago. Long career. And if you take a look at the numbers, where does he stand all time? Look at these names. Rice Fitzgerald, who was his teammate. So it's Rice Fitzgerald, Harrison, Carter, Brown, Owens, then Anquan. Mm. His receptions as far as compiling, adding, stacking numbers. Anquan Boldin never mentioned in the same voice as Jerry Rice or Marvin Harrison. But gosh, I don't know. Put up a Hall of Fame career, if you ask me.
I hated playing against Anquan because he was a bully. Like, he went out there on the field. He wanted to push you around, wanted to talk trash. He was a big, strong receiver. Didn't mind blocking, doing the dirty work, going across the middle. So 100% Anquan Boldin. I'm going a little bit before my generation. And I remember getting a chance to hear Shannon Sharpe in his Hall of Fame speech. And he dubbed himself as the only person in the Hall of Fame who wasn't the best football player in his family because Sterling Sharpe, his brother, was a wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers and got a chance to only play 7 years, a neck injury. But this dude was incredible. And I remember watching that speech. I was like, damn, I didn't know he had a brother. And I went back and watched highlights and started reading about Sterling Sharpe and the numbers he had, breaking a single season in receptions with 108 yards, then following up with 112 yards the very next year, catching passes from Brett Favre. This guy was unbelievable. In his 7 years, throughout that span, he was second in receptions and second in yards. The only receiver who was in front of him, Peter?
Jerry Rice.
Jerry Rice. My goodness, he was unbelievable for those 7 years.
I'm going to go with somebody a little different.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Andre Johnson.
Great. Talk about it.
The reason I'm going to go with Andre Johnson is because I think he's underrated is because of the team he was on. Yep. I mean, Houston had a couple good seasons, but can I read a couple names? Just give me a second. David Carr, Tony Banks, Dave Ragone, Matt Schaub, Sage Rosenfels, TJ Yates, Case Keenan, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and Ryan Mallett. Those were Andre Johnson's quarterbacks. You know what he did in that time frame?
What'd he do?
He has the most 100 reception, 1,400 yard seasons in NFL history. Over 14,000 yards. He led the league in receiving yards twice. He led the league in receptions twice over that span. And this is who's throwing to him. Like, if that's not underrated with doing that, with who's throwing to you in that span, I think Andre Johnson is definitely underrated in NFL history.
Is it crazy that this guy's not in the Hall of Fame? He's had two rounds to go about
yes.
it. It has not been
it's
voted.
Insane.
I'm with you.
He'll
I thought it was Larry Fitz and him.
Yeah.
And he's now going to have to wait a third year to get in. I think it's
the whole time Gerald was talking, I was listening, but I'm looking at the screen hoping that I'm not on any of the highlights.
Right.
I had to play against him twice a year, so I know exactly what you're talking
about. But that's underrated
about.
To not be in the
underrated.
Hall of Fame.
Yeah, absolutely.
No. He should be in, and because also when you were saying that, and we were coming up with this list, when and you had said Andre Johnson, and I saw it on the list, and I'm like, but I don't think of him as underrated in the sense of, I remember I was back covering the Titans when he was in his prime, and I mean, this guy was just demolishing everybody all the time, so I didn't think of him. I had, for my guy that was underrated, and this sort of pairs with what you said about the team you were playing on, Jimmy Smith with the Jaguars, because I think, like again, I just don't think they get a lot of loves down there oftentimes, and they had that window, the Mark Brunell window, but I mean, he's their career leader, and literally everything down there. He is Mr. Jaguar, you know, the stuff that he did down in there. So Jimmy Smith was my guy because I was, again, trying to think of, and even Anquan Boldin, I think, well, that's a huge name. And like, I don't know, I don't even think that Jimmy, and he doesn't have the maybe some of the same numbers, but the consistency and the manner in which he did that down in Jacksonville for, it felt like a really long time. Mm-hmm. I don't know that he's gotten his due. So we're giving everyone love this morning on Good Morning Football.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.